This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was the Manic Street Preachers with A Design for Life, which is ironic because we'll be talking about how you can KonMari your work life in a few moments. But first, we're going to go to some messages we've had via WhatsApp. Ords.
Yeah, so this is a text from Eugene who says, depending on the tech, honestly, he's responding to our story about if technology helps or hurts your ability to focus. So Eugene says, depending on the tech, I think most tech help in focus. Playing video games is definitely a focusing activity. Mind games, IQ games, and lots of reflexes games really helps you focus in real life in a moderate amount of time spent on it.
Absolutely agree with that.
Yeah. Good point.
And then we've got another text here from KL, and this is about our that sex health chatbot called Rue. We were talking about just before the break, and she says, I'd rather kids use this app than search on YouTube and Google.
Yeah.
Yep. Agreed.
Eyes rolling and a yep. For sure. Let us know what you think, folks, on any of the stories today. We've spoken about how whether or not technology helps or hurts your focus. That's a topic for today. We then spoke a little bit about a chatbot called Rue, who, of course, has been created by Planned Parenthood to answer any questions related to sex ed and that kind of stuff. We're now going to move over to Japan to listen to what KonMari, Marie Kondo, has to say about how we can do that to our work life.
Okay, so technically, this is coming from someone who works for Marie Kondo. Her name is Trisha Fiddler. She's a gold-level certified KonMari consultant.
What is
a gold-level? Evidently. So not exactly from the horse's mouth, but I guess like from the pony's mouth, okay? Mm-hmm. But these are some tips on how to apply the KonMari method to your desk, inbox, and ultimately your career, which is pretty fun. For those people who, by some miracle, don't know anything about Marie Kondo, here's how her process goes. She divides all possessions into five categories: clothes, books, paper, miscellaneous items, and sentimental items. Then she suggests putting everything from each category into one giant pile and then going through each thing one by one to see if it, quote-unquote, sparks joy. Mm. And you can't put it away until you've decided exactly what you're going to keep. But that's for, of course, your home life. So how to kind of put this into your work life is as such. The first thing is to express gratitude. And granted, this sounds really cheesy, but the idea is you kind of thank your workspace before leaping into cleaning. I know, I can see Rich judging me so hard. But the point is,
I just kind of zoned out for a moment, you know?
But the point is kind of taking a moment to be grateful for your workspace. The idea is that it forces you to reflect on everything you've done up until this point in that one small spot.
Right.
So it's just kind of focusing your brain on, okay, I'm going to like treat this workspace well, essentially, right? The next step is to have a vision. The vision has to be actionable and have goals around it and should focus on what you want to get out of this exercise. So at work, it could mean creating a cleaner space for you to focus on the projects that matter to you. So if that's the case, your intention should be to keep only the items you believe will help you achieve this goal. But let's say that your vision is to make your space more comfortable, then you know that's a different kind of vision as well. The third thing, sparking joy, but not in the way you think. Mm. Obviously, at home, sparking joy is easy because a lot of things are sentimental to you or decorative, right? But you can't really have a text thing that sparks joy in you, I don't think, right? So the idea is not quite about joy exactly. It's more about, you know, if you have something that you know, want to get rid of or, you know, you're not sure about it, explore the discomfort in what that item is bringing you. And if it's something that you have to keep, then you have to keep it, obviously. But, you know, for the most part, it's just about, okay, why do I not want to keep this? Why does this not spark joy in me? What can I do about it?
So it's the opposite of sparking joy.
It's kind of like, for the things that don't spark joy, wonder why instead of just throwing it out immediately, basically. Mm. Then the next thing is to tackle your email, desktop, and files, but don't overthink it. So, you know, look at your messages, look at your files, and apply the following three filters to it. What you need now, what's pending, and what you need to keep forever. Again, your company might require you to keep something, so obviously follow that too. You know, everything that doesn't fall into those three categories is up to you and how you toss them. And this applies also to your digital stuff. But granted, some of us can't quite ever reach inbox zero. That's okay. You know, decide how many emails is too many emails to have in your inbox. So that could be 30, it could be 60, it could even be 10,000, but it's up to you. And then calendar your time so that it doesn't ever build up above that number.
Mm.
Yeah. The next thing,
calendar your time to clean out your inbox.
Yeah. But like, it doesn't have to be zero if you're not comfortable with that or if that's not possible for you as well. The next thing is to capitalize on your power spots. So basically have like a thing, a little spot on your desk that's like for stuff that will motivate you through like, you know, those bad days that you might have at work. It could be a drawing one of your kids gave you, or it could be a nice card from a client, or it could be a toy that you won,
or a trophy,
Yeah. So, for example, for me, I have like a tiny little Pikachu toy, and that's just fun because I like Pikachu and it makes me happy, you know? So there's that.
It sparks joy.
It sparks joy. The next thing is to store things in a pleasing way. So, for example, for those things that you have to keep that don't technically spark joy, at least put them, you know, and store them in a way that is pleasing. So you use fun file folders or cute boxes or fucking containers, but choose storage areas that are easy to put things back into. The whole point of why we get disorganized is that, you know, we take things out and then we're like, oh, it's too much effort to put it back in its place. So make it not an effort, right? The next thing is to focus on what works for you. It's a very individual process, so it speaks back to what is important for you. There's no right or wrong way to store something. It's just what can you do about it and what are you comfortable with as well. There's also the rule of kind of pairing like with like. So at the very least, you know, put like stationery together, put books with books, put, you know, medicine things or like cough drops or whatever with other first aid items as well. And the last thing is to be intentional going forward. With whatever you choose to keep, you should have some sort of intention behind it. Maybe that's an action, like you have a report you need to finish, or there's an email draft that you haven't finished yet, or maybe it's like a motivational post-it that will like continue to kind of spark joy in you and motivate you towards doing your job well as well.
I think that final point is the hardest of all of them.
Mm.
You've done all your cleaning, you've tidied your stuff up, you've put things where it should be, and then you go to work, you go home for the weekend, and you come back on that Monday. It's a fresh week and, you know, your paperwork starts piling up and one thing starts piling up. And before you know it, at the end of the day, you've got a whole bunch of paperwork. And what do you do with it? For the most part, you know, getting into that mindset of I need to keep the place tidy. And you know, it's sometimes very difficult.
Yeah.
You know? And it shouldn't be.
I think it's the opposite for me, because I find like that last point about being intentional going forward, I think that's the easiest for me.
For you.
I think, yeah. Because once you have everything that you actually need at this point, and then moving forward, you're just going to, well, toss away the stuff that you don't need. You know, you're just going to eliminate the emails that you've never used or is not pending or is not pertinent to now. And you're going to get rid of that, you know, and it can be a process that just moves with you every week or every day. But to get started and go through that 30,000 emails and remove all the stuff and the junk that you don't need, that, for me, is the obstacle, is the mountain.
Right.
We have Chinese New Year coming up, of course, and everybody's, you know, cleaning their house and one thing or another. Now, when that house is spotless and you sit there and you look at it and you're just like, it's so amazing. I love sitting in a clean house. Everything's put away.
You just feel lighter.
You feel lighter, right? But then two or three days pass by and a few things have appeared on your dining table and something else has appeared somewhere else. And over time, without you even realizing it, you are back to square one.
Yeah. So I'm weird and hypocritical about this because I'm both like tidy and not. And it really depends on what I'm being tidy about. Like, I've talked about this before. I cannot have any emails in my inbox that are unread ever because it makes me physically uncomfortable to do so. But if you've seen my desk, it's not the tidiest thing in the world, right? But the thing is about that is that I know where everything is. I know kind of, you know, how to arrange things. And it's interesting because I do actually have like things with things. So like, I've got like a little pencil case with all my pens in, but I've got like my most used pens and notebook on the other side of the table. So it's kind of like, that's where I use the things. That's my backup stuff. And that's how my brain kind of tidies it. But if someone looked at it and had no idea why I put those things there, they'd be like, why is just there pens everywhere?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's how disorganized we are right now. Or organized, depending on which side of the fence you're set. Folks, we're going to take a break. We've got a couple of tracks coming up back to back. We have Interpol with Camille, then The Cranberries with Promises. Get in touch if you want to talk to us about any of the stories you've heard so far. But the topic of the day is about technology and whether or not it helps or hurts your focus. Have you found an app, perhaps, that helps you focus? Have you found a way, like video games, of helping you focus? You know, and on the other side of the coin, what really distracts you when it comes to tech? And we know it's your phone, we know it's social media, we know it's all of that kind of stuff, but what else? Let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. On Twitter or on Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. When we come back, our final story of the day about how you are being judged at work. Yes, indeed. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.